Almighty God, who has poured upon us the new light of thine incarnate word, grant that the same light enkindled in our hearts may shine forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The prophet Isaiah began his revelation with a recounting of the nature of his calling, where he saw a vision of God that caused him to shrink back. Isaiah saw the Lord and the seraphim, the angels around his throne, and he had the same response that Moses had, "I shouldn't be the one who's chosen," that Jeremiah had, "I am the wrong kind of person for this," like St. Peter had, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." But in the end, he was not sent away and did not burn up into a crisp in the presence of God when the doorposts of his house shook and the house filled with smoke. Rather, he was cleansed, made appropriate, and ultimately given a call. And his response to the call had him echoing the voices of others who had also received a call from God. The words of Abraham. Abraham was called by God in Genesis chapter 22 to do something very difficult. God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said it again in the same chapter when he was called by his son Isaac. And then a third time when the angel of the Lord had him stop before that horrible sacrifice of his son, staying his hand, calling out again, "Abraham," and again his response, "Here I am." The words of Samuel, that small boy in the temple under the ministry of the priest Eli, who heard the voice of the Lord calling him in the night, and before he understood finally what the voice meant, thinking it was the priest, he readily answered more than once, "Here I am." When Isaiah wrote of his calling, he wrote, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." He saw also those seraphim calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And the curtain between God and man was drawn back, and at first he gasped, saying, "Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." But it was not a few moments later in this vision that the seraphim flew to him and cleansed his unclean lips with a live coal, saying essentially, "Your excuse is removed. Thy iniquity is taken away." And to that Isaiah answered God's question, "Now whom shall I send? Now that your excuse has been removed, whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" The answer, "Here am I. Send me." In the city of Nazareth, Jesus stood up in the synagogue and read from the prophet Isaiah the words that we've heard today, this second Sunday in Christmastide. Words that had for centuries in the Jewish world been interpreted to have been meant to refer to a mysterious figure of the servant of the Lord, a figure interpreted not initially as a coming Messiah, but potentially to represent the entire people of God embodied in one, the servant of the Lord. But then at the outset of the ministry of Christ, he took up the book of Isaiah and read that passage, indicating that the prophecy was fulfilled not in some grand metaphorical way for the people of God, but in his own person it was fulfilled. Jesus Christ came unto his own and revealed that the following words were about him. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. What would it be to be in that room when he read that passage and said, "These words are fulfilled today"? Jesus stood in the midst of his own people and said, "Here I am. The long wait is over. Here am I." Jesus, standing in the synagogue, reading from the prophet of Isaiah, said, "This day these words are fulfilled in your ears," and he spoke truly. We read this passage, though, during a season about the incarnation, Christmas time, because the fulfillment of those words began truly at the Annunciation, and Jesus is revealed to the world at Bethlehem. At his birth was a revelation that the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, had indeed arrived. Christmas is the feast of the incarnation. God, keeping his own divine nature, took on human nature as well in the person of the Son to redeem us from within, to invite us to participate in new and eternal life. But it is not an invitation to avoid risk, to avoid threat, to avoid suffering, and to avoid a call. It is rather an invitation to participate in victory. The ministry of the Prince of Peace would begin and end with bloodshed and threat of violence, but it was victory. At his circumcision, the Lord first shed blood for the sake of the world, and not long afterwards, the first martyrs would perish as holy innocents when Herod learned that his power would be challenged, but his plans would not succeed. Our gospel passage today reminds us that the Holy Family had to flee into Egypt for safety and return not to Bethlehem but to Nazareth. We read those words quite easily. The story is quite familiar to us. But think of having to flee, for someone was pursuing you and your child to kill you. Flee to another country and only come back on the hope from a dream that it's now safe. That's a nervous time. That's a frightful time. But it is a move of God towards victory. And there is no saying no to such a call. Threat, violence, even bloodshed returned at Golgotha when the ministry begun at Nazareth in Bethlehem was fulfilled. But again, the Prince of Peace and his tremendous victory there touched humanity, as it were, with a burning coal of his own righteousness to cleanse the sins of those who follow him, to call his people trees of righteousness, to fulfill that passage of the book of the prophet Isaiah, to fulfill those words of Abraham, "Here I am." Samuel, "Here I am." Isaiah, "Here I am." It is a response of one who is willing to participate in victory, no matter what the intervening cost. But the persistent answer of "Depart from me, leave me alone," that is defeat and destruction. When we see Jesus in his holiness, in his innocence, in his courage, in his perfection, it is often our instinct to draw back and say, "This is for someone else. Depart from me. I'm a man of unclean lips, from a people of unclean lips." We should know by now that that is no way to answer or to understand God. He turns to his own and asks, "Who will go?" "Whom shall I send? Do you wish also to hear the voice of God call your name as with Abraham? To hear the voice of God call your name as with Samuel? Do you wish for the opportunity to answer, 'Here I am'? To join in this victory, do you wish not only to see a vision of God, but to receive the cleansing as of a live coal administered by the angel of God? And do you wish for the opportunity to respond to the call of God, say back to him, 'Here I am'? Then you've come to the right place." In response to the Lord giving himself to us in the incarnation, in the crucifixion, and in the sacrament of the altar, we are given an opportunity to respond by giving ourselves to him, by participating in his victory. We even say these words, "And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him." That's an invitation to participate in ultimate and eternal victory, cleansing. "Here I am, Lord," is the right answer. And to pray as we have today, Almighty God, who has poured upon us the new light of thine incarnate word, grant that the same light enkindled in our hearts may shine forth in our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.